D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you today. A lot of reaction to our discussion about Major League Baseball and Nashville. Justin Ishbia, a billionaire with a capital B, a net worth, according to Forbes, of $4.3 billion. He's on Vanderbilt's Board of Trust, a graduate of Vanderbilt Law School, Michigan State.
Don't forget that, man. I know he graduated from Vandy Law School. Vandy Law School, I know.
You're using the same voice that Willie was using. How did you lose to Vanderbilt?
Don't take offense to it, people. I'm only joking with Willie.
He also is a minority owner in Nashville, SC.
Uh-oh. Does that make you feel better, D-Man?
Oh, yeah. A lot better. Thank you. Thank you, Connor. I appreciate that.
All right. Now Derek's feeling better.
Feel much better now.
But Justin Ishbia, not to be confused with his brother, Matt, who is controlling owner of the NBA's Phoenix Suns and the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. Ishbia and White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf have entered into a long-term agreement that could lead to Ishbia taking over the team as soon as 2029 or as late as 2034. So we're talking about a business person with significant Nashville ties buying a team that has been connected to Nashville in recent years as the White Sox try to find a new home for their aging stadium. A lot of texters on the text line. Let's start with this one from Al. What was Willie implying when he said people stumble out of Bridgestone Arena? Alcohol? No way!
Some fall.
I think my point was that the distance could allow you to stumble and still be very close to a watering hole.
To another watering hole.
Should you want to then begin to drink alcohol.
Or stumble into your hotel and go to sleep.
Right.
Philip says, there's places around Nashville to build a stadium. I think it should be at the old prison off Centennial Boulevard. I prefer a basketball team, and they redo Municipal Auditorium, but that's just me. And remember, there was a contingent of people that wanted to bring the WNBA to Nashville. Their bid ultimately fell short, at least this time around. But with the WNBA, you just plop them into Bridgestone, presumably. Or I guess Municipal, but Municipal needs a huge makeover.
Forget about that. That's not going to happen. With
the WNBA?
If you got NBA and or WNBA.
It would be at Bridgestone.
It would be at Bridgestone.
Yes.
But that's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but you don't have to worry.
You don't
about
have to build
you
a new
have
place.
The facility.
Exactly.
Yes.
It would just be a matter of working it out.
With the Predators.
The
and logistics.
Just like a lot of cities where the Wizards and the Capitals play, et cetera.
Right.
Rangers, Knicks, that kind
of thing. Yeah, so that can be done.
Sean says, no to MLB. Why get in bed with a contracting professional sport? What's the average fan age again? Like 63 or something?
Hey, don't be hating baseball.
Hold on. Okay. Is that a – because, again, I tend to defer to you, Willie. Is that maybe – that could be a part of baseball's issue?
Oh, yeah.
In viewership?
And they're dealing with it.
Uh-huh.
I think a big issue is getting – people to play and stay playing longer than they did a generation ago, two generations ago, and not just in the burbs, which is what it's become. It's becoming a more expensive sport to play, which sucks. Pardon my French. It used to be much more of a neighborhood, even a city game and a country game.
You're right about that.
It was the national pastime. It's more confined now to you know, you've heard maybe the term RBI, reviving baseball in the inner city. That's been an ongoing battle that has not been won, right? There's less and less kids, urban kids, that play, which they have to continue to address. It's becoming much more of an international game. Mm-hmm. If you take a look, kind of like basketball, there's more players around. So the sport is really healthy worldwide. But fan base-wise, I think they do have to keep – now, the things that they've done with the rules, if you look at local TV ratings and attendance, it's very healthy, very, very healthy. They're drawing well, but it's that whole thing of provincial, right? Can you grab the mass audience where everybody around you is like, yeah, are you going? You watching the game tonight, the big game, the All-Star game? That used to be a big yes. Mm-hmm. The World Series, you watching the World Series? Oh, heck, of course I'm watching the World Series. Now it's like,
What else is
not
on?
Not as much. But I think in a town, right, when you got a baseball, it's a heartbeat. You got 162 games. It's a summer thing. Is your team in town? Oh, you want to go to the game? It's a spontaneous. It's a little different because it's a daily chapter, more so than any other sport.
Mike in Lebanon says, "I want an MLB team. I want an MLB team, but I do not, in all caps, want the stadium in downtown Nashville or Davidson County." And look, sometimes I grumble when I have to go somewhere outside of Davidson County. Like, I gotta go to Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. I gotta go to. Robbie likes.
Well, and that's a problem. Like
Robbie likes to joke that I do not like to leave Davidson County, but I do leave Davidson County, but I sometimes have to grumble like, ugh, Murfreesboro, that's such a schlep, and that would be, I think, a barrier.
I think that would be too far, honestly. Yes. I don't think Murfreesboro would work just because it's a little too far for too many of the people that you would need to go. The guy that, I don't know if it was a guy. I think it was a gentleman that just texted that said the prison area.
Yes.
Off of Briley? Is that Briley? Not Briley.
Philip says the old prison off of Centennial Boulevard.
I do think in that area, they are reviving a lot of things. There's some really cool places that, you know, unless you're going over there, you'll see it's not far from, what's the area? Sylvan Park. You're not far from there. And there's space out in that area that I think you could build it and you could grab some interest. It's near that little, tiny little airstrip.
Mm-hmm. It's by the John Toon Airport.
I'm telling you, they build a baseball. If they get a baseball team in Davidson County, I'm leaving. Not the state of Tennessee, but I'm leaving Davidson County. I'm just being honest, man. Because again, if they bring a team, they're going to want you to pay for some of it.
And then we built a soccer stadium. Yeah. And then we built the racetrack.
The soccer stadium is different because they took over, you know, it was Ingram.
Yes.
He took over paying for the soccer stadium.
They turned a big part of the bill back.
Exactly.
To him. And we are seeing it. I don't know how many people listening have been to a soccer game. I've been to a few. And there's no question, you got to know how to play your cards to avoid disaster, or you got to be willing to walk several blocks. So if that's not your
people thing. People who live by the stadium will allow you to park in their driveways for a certain fee.
$50.
When you have
I would price gouge too.
Yeah, might as well.
When you have a quote neighborhood stadium, which that basically is.
It is, absolutely.
Then everybody definitely has to be creative on how to park and get everybody in and out. And I think when they built it, they were like, you know what? We'll just figure it out. Because that's what it was. They don't have a lot of places to park there.
No.
And if you are parking in a special spot, you're paying pretty good money for it. But either way, if the game is exciting and it goes down to the last minute and everybody leaves at the same time, you better plan on listening to the post-game show or getting your favorite podcast in there or something, because it's going to take a while.
One texter says, between Nashville and Murfreesboro would bring the best attendance and support, combined population index and location for travel. Another texter says, why not buy the Super Speedway in Lebanon? And another texter says, simple logistics say that the Major League Baseball park would need to be close to downtown simply for hotel rooms, restaurants, and all the other infrastructure that's involved in a professional sports venue. If you think of some of the all-time great parks, they're all in the heart of the city.
Yeah, I'm not going to say
well, what would be between Nashville and Murfreesboro? Like, what would be my Middleton Sea geography?
I think you would look at Antioch would be at the edge of Davidson County. Mm-hmm. Then you would get into Smyrna.
Yeah.
You know, that area, that would be sort of halfway between Nashville and Murfreesboro, Smyrna, roughly halfway.
Well, I remember, you may remember Laverne. This happened recently. The owner of the Washington Capitals and Mystics, Ted Leonsis, the Capitals, their arena, Capital One Arena, is right in the heart of downtown D.C. in the Chinatown District.
Great place.
Great location. Spent many a time there before I moved here. And they were flirting with moving to Northern Virginia. They were moving to Alexandria, Virginia. They were going to build this huge arena entertainment complex in Alexandria, Virginia. And ultimately, D.C. ultimately came to the table, and they're staying in downtown D.C., and they're going to refurbish Capital One Arena. But I remember one of the talking points about the Capitals and Wizards and Mystics. He owns all three of those teams. I forgot one. He owns all three of those teams. People were talking about, like, the nice thing about Chinatown, D.C. is on the D.C. metro system, it's right in the middle. Whether you're coming from Northern Virginia, another part of D.C., if you're coming from Maryland, it's centrally located. If you're moving to Alexandria, you're moving to an extreme end of the D.C. metro system. Are people who live on the opposite side in Maryland going to schlep all the way from Maryland to Virginia to go to a game? I'm not sure. And that's why I wonder about this.
You don't have to drive through Nashville or Davidson.
Wind the clock back before, when I was growing up, and I never went to a game there, but the back then they were called the Bullets. You remember that?
Washington Bullets.
They played in Landover, Maryland.
Landover, Maryland is where the Capitals and
that's where the Commanders play now. They will eventually move back to D.C., but they've been playing in Landover, Maryland.
But I think the desire... Okay, so that was my question.
Yes.
People had to get out of downtown to go there, and after a while, I was like, we need something in the heart of the city.
Yes.
It works much.
I think they're taking over the old RFK stadium.
Works better when you're in the city.
Yes.
I do, and I know it comes with a lot of stuff. You talked about the vampire.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that you have to sacrifice to do it. Let me ask this, too. It's still fairly recent that the Nationals moved into a downtown ballpark. I understand that the traffic is a big issue in our nation's capital.
It's in Southeast D.C. In the Navy Yard Navy Yard neighborhood.
Like the team hasn't been great a lot. They have had
their
moments.
It's a fabulous place to watch a baseball game.
That's what
and
I understand.
So much
it
easier
looks like
to
they've
to.
Drawn pretty well,
yes.
And that was a big issue because baseball was gone from the nation's capital for a long, long time.
They played at RFK for a couple of years.
I did go to a game there with Kevin Ingram. He and I went to a game at RFK. That was not a great place to watch a baseball game, but... This one is. So it can be done, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were people in Washington saying, I don't know if we want to build another.
Well, I'm sure it can be.
And that area, by the way.
I'm sure it can be done.
That area, by the way, was not an area a lot of people frequented before that stadium went up. That was an area that
you stayed away from.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying you can't do it. Like, there's no – I mean, but you know what comes with it if you put it any – like – Nashville proper, with downtown Nashville, basically. If you put it somewhere within that circle, yeah, it's great, but you know what's going to come with it. It's going to be a lot of congestion. Is that how you pronounce the word? Yeah, congestion.
Yep.
Yeah, I said it right. There's going to be that. Taxes are going to go up. I understand that people say, well, it's going to bring jobs. It's not going to bring livable wage jobs. So... Each time you say, well, it's going to bring, and I can tell you what else it's not going to bring or what it's going to add.
The economic impact thing, where it's like, this stadium is going to create this much in economic impact and create all of these jobs. There have been plenty of studies that have been done about that. It doesn't usually end up
trade-off.
Exactly.
It's a trade-off.
It's better for the person coming in than the people that already live there.
Yeah, the same texter who suggested between Nashville and Murfreesboro said you could also take advantage of the 840 bypass for those outside of Nashville, Lebanon, Dixon, and the Burbs. Smyrna would be a great location. But I'm going to tell you right now.
That is kind of the how the Braves
middle point.
Right? The Braves, what is it? What is it? 270? Whatever. There's the loop. Mm-hmm. 285? I can't. 275?
I don't know my they have Georgia.
There's a loop. They call it inside the perimeter, outside the perimeter. The ballpark is right near the perimeter. So you have the main highway, I-75 that you're coming in on, and the loop, and that it's right there with the two.
What's great about going to a game among there? I love going to Sounds games. What's a big draw of First Horizon Park? It's in Germantown. It's in a happening area.
It's a great place.
It's just off of downtown. That's great. To the texter's point, if Major League Baseball came here and they built a stadium in Smyrna, and someone said, "Hey, do you want to go to a baseball game tonight?" I'm like, do I really want to go to Smyrna?
Well, that will bring up
no disrespect to the fine citizens of Smyrna.
I'm surprised it hasn't already come up, but that is something that generally comes up is if you could wave a magic wand and turn First Horizon Park into a major league facility, that is prime real estate now.
I can't imagine for your that neighbor. Can happen, right?
I've been told it would be a lot because they've already – the infrastructure
they've
around it.
They've built so much
built
around,
around it. It would be very difficult.
One texter says that's the 285 loop that you're referring.
Yeah,
like that would be great. And that's when we visited First Horizon Park a couple of months ago for Sounds opening
beautiful
day.
Beautiful stadium.
We were talking about that. Yeah. Like just the the buildings being built behind it.
It's a perfect
spot. There's nothing better than the downtown ballpark. Yeah.
That's something that needed to happen before they built everything around it.
Yeah.
Now it's
– There's not enough room.
Yeah, you can't
do
it
already – they've boxed themselves in. But there's nothing better than a downtown ballpark. And look, I know Adam in Portland is still listening, so I know this is going to pick at a scab that you were talking about earlier. But I remember during the 2017 Stanley Cup Final – going to a baseball game at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You've got the bridge right behind it.
It's awesome.
And it's nice.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Yes. The people, one texter says, the people of Rutherford County say the same thing about going to Davidson County for sports. That's probably true.
So, yes, I think that's probably true. They got me thinking on the 285 loop. There's a famous story, and when George is on sometime, he would probably remember this. But the Braves, when they played at Fulton County Stadium way back in the 80s, they had a pitcher named Pascual Perez who was supposed to pitch, but he, because it's a loop, right? It loops around the city, 285, and he got lost on the loop. He missed the turn, and it was like 2 hours after.
Like he was stuck in a roundabout?
Yeah, it's like Chevy Chase in European Vacation. I can't get left. For some reason, he got lost on the freeway, and they're all at the park going, where's Pascual?
He's on a freeway.
He's supposed to pitch tonight. No cell phones or anything. He was late. He didn't pitch.
I can understand that. That damn near happened to me when I was playing for the Jets because we're there where MetLife sits.
Turnpike, baby.
Yeah.
New Jersey
if
Turnpike.
If you don't get out on the right, if you're not paying attention and you pass that exit, boy, oh boy, you got to go and then you got to come back, which traffic is going to be bad. Boy, I had to pull over, back up when nobody was coming and take it off. Because I said, I'm damn sure not going to miss this game. So it almost happened to me.
Before we get to Ask D-Mace, which is coming up next, so if you have questions for Derek, 615-737-1025, call or text us on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. There is a question from Craig, a hockey question that we haven't gotten to, and he wants Willie and I's opinion on it. You may have seen this morning that the Dallas Stars fired Pete DeBoer, and I think we could have predicted that after what happened after they lost. Craig wants to know, Willie, do you think there's a chance the Predators go after DeBoer now that he has been let go by Dallas, and does that change the way Marchessault feels if they do get DeBoer? Marchessault played for DeBoer in Vegas, just throwing that out there. But the idea of DeBoer being available, I can't imagine at this point after how staunchly Barry Trotz backed Andrew Brunette that they're going to move off of Brunette.
Well, that's not going to happen right now. There's no question about it. Pete DeBoer is very similar. And I think we were a little conservative with I think Jake Oettinger is going to outlast Pete DeBoer. Remember after those comments that he made after?
Yes.
Like, hey, that's going to come back to bite him at some point. I didn't think it would be like 2 weeks later where he is gone. But Pete DeBoer has been a lot of places, right? He's a little bit like Peter Laviolette. He's gone to a lot of places and won, and then he's moved on for one reason or another.
He has been to the conference final 6 of the past 7 years.
With multiple teams. He's taken a lot of teams a long way. I don't think he's won a cup, has he?
He has not won the Stanley Cup.
He has
been to
the
Cup final twice, with the Devils in 2012
and
the Sharks in 2016.
So he's a consistent winner. So here's what's going to happen, and I think you can book this. When Barry Trotz decided to bring back Andrew Brunette, we said it's not in the Predators' control. In Vegas and all these sites that do prop bets, Andrew Brunette, whether he likes it or not, is going to be towards the top, if not at the top of the list of coaches on the hot seat, right? They have these things. Who's on the hottest seat? What are the odds? Who's the first coach that's going to be let go? Andrew Brunette's going to be way up there, right? And then on the other list of who's the coach most likely to be hired between now and December 1st or November 1st, Pete DeBoer is going to be at the top of that list as long as he is unemployed. Is the Boston job still open?
No, Marco Sturm.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So there are no openings in the NHL right now.
So DeBoer can sit back.
He has 1 year left on his contract.
He's getting paid. He can do a little radio. He can do a little TV. He can hang out and just wait for the phone to ring because somebody is going to probably call him, right? So if you want to put two and two together and say, hey, they're going to fire the coach on November 1st and they're going to hire this guy, I can see you, but it's not going to happen now, right? Yeah. And it's not going to have anything to do with Marchessault, right? It's going, because I think the Marchessault saga is going to be how relevant are these things that Elliott's putting out there, and these, is he really on the trade block, his no movement, all of these things. That is something to watch in the current. The coaching thing is way down the road because Andrew Burnett's going to be given a shot to make this right. And it's not, there's not going to be pulling the plug and doing a 180 during the offseason. They've made their decision for now.
My friend Sean Shapiro, who used to cover the Stars and still does cover the Stars, he has his own Substack and he does some other stuff in Dallas. He writes, quote, DeBoer is very similar to a taskmaster manager in soccer, someone who can win and drive a team to the next step, but might not have the staying power because of his abrasiveness and how he wears on teams. Sounds familiar.
I was going to say, I think there are, around sports, there are coaches like that.
Yes.
Peter Laviolette is who you're thinking of.
Yes.
And there's no question he's got some of that. He has got a five and dive, if he lasts five. Sometimes it's a three and dive, right? 3 years. You do your thing.
DeBoer was there for three years.
You have success, and you wear out your welcome. You move on. You have success somewhere else. Billy Martin was always the one that could do it in baseball, and many times with the same team. The Yankees kept firing him and then hiring him back. He could give you a lift. You could probably make a list of coaches like that around sports.
615-737-1025. It's time for Ask DMA. So call us, text us, 615-737-1025 for your questions for Derek. PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, 2615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, call us, text us, 615-737-1025 if you have a question for our all-pro wide receiver. Let's start with Dylan on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan, thanks for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, yeah. Hey, D-Mace, so my question for you is, what position group do you think is going to be the most important for Cam's development throughout the season? Do you think, like, the tight end room needs to be on top of their game, the receiving room, or the running back room? And that's kind of my question. Which one do you think needs to have, like, a standout season in order to help Cam progress as a quarterback?
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan, for the call. Obviously, you know, the first one, and I knew this was the obvious one, the offensive line. So, Dylan, I know that's why you didn't throw that one in there, because that's the obvious one. But I think because we discussed, you know, X factors, who can be an X factor. And mine was the second wide receiver, whether it's Vance Jefferson or somebody else. Tyler Lockett, somebody needs to step up and be a bona fide number two, because I think that helps Cam Ward in his development. Because if he only has one guy that he can depend on all the time, believe me, I've been through this with young quarterbacks. When they only have one guy, it tends to get frustrating because you can't, that other guy hasn't, you know, really stepped up yet. And once team figure it out, what they're going to do is they're going to force you to throw it to the other guys, or at least they're going to try to. And if you haven't built any rapport, if that guy hasn't gained your respect, that becomes frustrating for a quarterback. So to me, because I picked the X factor being that second wideout, I would think the wideout position outside of the offensive line, the wideout position to me is that second guy is going to be critical. Listen, running the football is a first, and I know that's what the Titans are going to do. And if Pollard has to run, then so be it. But, man, they're going to need a second option at wide receiver for this thing to really, you know, jump off.
Andrew from Dover says, what is your favorite Bruce Willis movie? His is The Fifth Element.
Ooh, Bruce,
that
mine's
is not the best Bruce Willis movie. No. Are you kidding me?
My other than, you got to throw Die Hard in there.
Of course.
But mine's was, what's the name of the, it's not Signs. I was thinking Signs, but that was a good movie, more Alien.
Oh. The Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense, yeah. That yes. was,
because
I did, when
movie.
I first saw the movie, I didn't know that he was the one that was deceased.
Okay, hold on. You just spoiled it.
No, this no, you no, we no, it. No, Willie, because
the
we,
Sixth Sense came out more than 25
exactly,
years ago.
Absolutely, so Willie.
If that's you haven't seen it by now,
exactly.
Sorry, now, not sorry.
Sorry, not
you
sorry.
You can't watch it. You can't
Willie,
watch
sorry,
it
not sorry.
It.
But it's been out 20 years.
You know what's
Willie?
You can't spoil the movie.
You know what's? No. You know what? What
there's
am
a
I?
Stat, there's not. There's a statute of limitation.
How many years? How many years is it?
5 years. That's it.
5 years.
Yes.
Okay.
That movie came out in 1999.
I saw it in the theater.
You know what's another good Bruce Willis movie? It's not his best movie. It's nowhere close to his best movie, but it's the one that if I see it on TV, mm-hmm. I will stop to watch it, The Whole Nine Yards. With Matthew Perry and Amanda Peet.
Yeah.
I have not seen that.
I'm not no. I'm not
I'm
sure.
I'm going
about
Die
that.
Hard. It's the low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
I can't. You can't beat Die Hard.
Oh, how about the Expendables? He was in Expendables, wasn't he?
Who wasn't yeah. in the Expendables?
Bruce Willis. Yeah, I loved the Expendables. Loved it. Was basically it was what it was. It was really a. It wasn't a huge movie, but I think they do have a cult following.
Okay, here is the ensemble cast of the original
yes.
Expendables of 2010: Jason Statham, Jet Li. Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Terry Crews, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mickey Rourke, and Bruce Willis.
Now, Mickey Rourke and
now
Bruce
that's
Willis.
Something you will rush out to go see? Probably not. But, I mean, I like, if it comes on, I will stop to watch it.
Brian on our text line says, I've heard people talk about having a financial advisor slash no man when it comes to buying certain things. Did you ever hear anybody ignoring their advisor and buying something absolutely crazy? If so, what was it?
I don't think I've, because guys, you know, you have certain guys that will share certain things with you. And guys tend to stay away from the financial stuff. You know, at least that was my thing as far as players. But you know, in my household, it was, you know, if you like something, let's think about it 24 hours. And if it sort of dissipates any, then that means you really don't want it. But if you still sort of, then, okay, now let's talk through how good would this purchase be for us moving forward. So, and that was with big purchases, nothing like $100 here or $1,000 there. No.
Let me piggyback off of that. What was the first thing that you splurged on for yourself when you got your NFL contract?
A house. We purchased the land, a new home. Anything outside of that, no, it was.
No regrettable electronics or vehicles or.
No, it wasn't because we didn't go crazy and buy all these things. Now, you know, gave my parents some money to renovate, you know, portion of their house. Gave her mom some money to her mom and dad some money to do some things or purchase a house. But outside of that, man, no, it wasn't, you know, but let's purchase a house first. You know, because the house we had, you know, it was nice, but we were a growing family.
Quickly, before we go to break, one texter asks, did you back in today, D-Mace?
I don't think I'm going to believe it wasn't a texter. I think it was you, Adam.
There it is, right there.
Okay. No, because of where I parked. Because of where I parked.
Willie,
where do you think I parked? Where do you think I parked?
Willie, did I tell you that the day after that, where he chastised the both of us, for pulling in instead of backing in, I left the studio. I walked downstairs that same day. Mm-hmm. I walked downstairs, and lo and behold, Derek Mason pulled in. Okay. He spent that whole time yelling at us, and he pulled in.
And what did I do? I accepted it, but I explained. I said, on that corner, right there on the corner, that parking space on the corner, you cannot bag in. You know, because it's awkward getting out if you bag in.
Excuses.
So I just pulled in so I can. You know, I ain't even got a bag up to pull out. I just turn it, a sharp turn. I'm good.
615-737-1025. We will get to your questions for Derek on our phone and text lines. Coming up next, again, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063. The game. A little maudlin there, Connor.
Babyface. You don't like Babyface?
I don't know if I know this song. Which song is this?
This is How Come How Long.
Okay.
With Stevie Wonder.
Hey, there you go.
It's usually a little bit more upbeat during Ask D-Mace, so I don't want to bring it down.
I mean, you know.
It's soulful.
It is soulful. That is true.
It's in my soul now.
Let's go to our friend Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, your dad joke and your question, please.
Well, first of all, before I get to that, I just wanted to give you guys an update. The job, unfortunately, I applied for fell through, so I'm still kind of looking. So,
good luck. I hope it works out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys like this dad joke. I'll admit off the top, it's real corny, and it might be a groaner. So, but
it's, corny means
exactly.
It's
good
joke.
If it's corny.
I mean,
yes.
A good dad joke isn't corny.
Okay. What is a tornado's favorite game?
Twister.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that was an old one, man.
Yeah. Okay.
They were all over that one.
Yeah. Hey, guys. And speaking of dads, because, of course, you got Father's Day coming up, so I'm a little bit early with this. But and Willie, you can answer this, too. What would you say was your favorite memory as a father? Or as a son? It could be either one, as, you know, a Father's Day that you spent with your dad, or remember one with your dad, or as being as a father for your children. What would you say is your favorite Father's Day memory? I mean, you can answer one or the other or both, just however you want to answer it. Guys, y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Derek, why don't you go first?
Every Father's Day. Thank you, Eric. Every Father's Day, and I honestly mean that. Every Father's Day that I became a father, the day I became a father, and on that Father's Day, each and every one of them have been special. I don't think there's one that has been better than the other. So each Father's Day for me has been great. So that for me, my kids, they're wonderful. They always make sure dad is taken care of on Father's Day, even outside of Father's Day. But yeah.
How about you, Willie?
I don't have one that just pops into my head. I've had a lot of good moments. There was one, I want to say, several years ago where we had a great generation thing going. Mm-hmm. My son, I think he was 11 or 12 years old, and he was playing in a baseball tournament, mm-hmm. and I was there, and both of his grandfathers mm-hmm. were there in the stands. We had a great picture of all of us, like, kind of dialed in watching uh-huh. the game, like, from the stands. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's an iconic photo, but uh-huh. it's one that breaks through the, you get all the pictures yeah. on your phone. And some of them, you're like, oh, that's a nice picture.
But that one is.
Some stand out. You're exactly. like, you would put that in the proverbial album, right?
Yes.
All of us just locked in, like.
It's an iconic picture for your family.
Keep your feet moving. All right. Keep your hands back. Follow through. Luckily we didn't.
Oh, no. All three, y'all were screaming different things.
Right. No, hopefully we had good decorum at this. But it's a good picture.
So I am a young father.
Yes.
This will be my third Father's Day. So I don't have any true Father's Day moments yet, just because my son was too young to really understand what Father's mm-hmm. Day was. I was just happy to be a father. By the way, quickly, I do have an update. So remember, yesterday at the beginning of the show, my wife texted me. She was in the car with my son, and she said, "We're listening," and Arlo says, "Derek is bad, and Willie is good, and Daddy is bad." So I got it.
I really like that song.
I know you did.
So I asked Arlo about it, and he pled the fifth. He just decided to go do something else. He didn't listen to me. But then I asked my wife, and I said, "Why did he say that?" And she said that we were listening, and Derek was talking, and he asked, "Who's that?" And my wife said, "Derek." And my son said, "He's bad." And then Willie talked, and then Arlo asked my wife, "Who's that?" And she said, "That's Willie." He goes, "He's good."
Of course.
And then I started talking. Mm-hmm. "Who's that?" "That's Dada. He's bad."
Man.
Are you sure he didn't mean like bad as in
no.
yeah, bad as good?
You don't know what he meant.
Bad?
No. I
need to talk to Arlo.
I need to talk to Arlo.
Arlo and I need to become friends.
He'll run you ragged. Let's go to Nick on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nick, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
All right, I got a good dad joke for you. Typically, they're not knock-knock ones, but I got a good knock-knock one.
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Boo-hoo.
Boo hoo hoo.
Sir, you could come in, but that owl of yours has got to stay on outside.
Yeah, that's an old one. I've heard that one before.
An oldie but goodie.
The one I remember as a kid was, don't cry, it's only a joke.
That's where I thought Nick was going, to be honest.
I think that's nobody wanted to dive into the trap. You decided to take the bait.
Yeah, you took it.
Adam took the bait.
It was Derek, the second who.
Derek wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't going to take the bait. I was waiting for y'all.
All of a sudden, it was not asked D-Mace. D-Mace backed out.
Go ahead, Nick.
Happy Father's Day, guys.
Thank you.
You got a question? Oh, that was it. He just had a dad joke.
He just had a dad joke. Okay.
All right. So I told Derek I would have a question for him. Okay. So as we discussed before Ask D-Mace, the Dallas Stars fired their coach Pete DeBoer. Their GM, Jim Nill, is holding a news conference right now talking about that decision. But he's also talking about all of the injuries that the Stars dealt with in the postseason because, as you know, once the playoffs are over, teams will be a bit more open and honest about the injuries. So Robe hints, the Stars' top center, according to Taylor Baird, I want to say, she reports on the Dallas Stars, Robe hints, dash, broken foot that required 2 days of vials of blood being drained to get it to stop bleeding. So what was the nastiest injury situation that you had to deal with, Derek Mason? And for those of you eating
for
lunch,
me?
please put down your food. If you're faint.
Me personally?
Yes. Did you ever have to have 2 days of vials of blood being drained?
Oh, no, man. Okay. Goodness gracious. I hope he's all right. Man, shoot.
I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. I would say... One for me, it wasn't gruesome, but man, oh man, it hurt bad. When I got undercut going up for a ball, we were playing Houston. This is when I was in Baltimore. We were playing Houston. He undercut me. It was a legal play because he was out of position. He was just trying to dislodge me from the ball because the ball was high. So he hit me underneath, and I came down on my shoulder, like my elbow, and it charred into my shoulder. I dislocated my shoulder, tore a rotator cuff, broke scapula. Ugh. Man, you talk about somebody that was in pain on the ground. I was in so much pain, I think I may have forgotten where I was. That's how much pain I was in. And they end up popping the shoulder back into place, and we end up going to the locker room. Fortunately enough for me, I didn't miss a game, end up catching a game-winning 2-point conversion, came back in the game. So that was great. But the grossest thing that I've seen, I was walking in the locker room. This is when I was here at the Titans. And big Bruce Matthews. Bruce had bad knees, man. If y'all didn't know, toward his later years, Bruce had bad knees. I think, Willie, you might have known about Bruce's knees. He had so many injuries, man.
But he
had played 28, but he
never missed a game
at all. I walked in one day in practice, and they were removing like cc's of like just fluid that had built up in his knee. Ugh. And I'm like, and you see the fluid inside this needle, and it's huge. I wanted to pass out.
Really?
I'm like, and he's just sitting there taking it. He's just like, whatever.
Like it wasn't the first time.
Yeah, like it was, and it wasn't the first time, but it's the first time I seen it. I said, Yeah, I don't want to play that long where I have to have that happen. No, I don't want
that was tough.
Gross.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, that's probably something, you know, I wouldn't want to see again.
One texter says, D-Mace, do you like to gamble? If so, what's your game, and what is the most amount of money you've ever won at a casino in one day?
I'm not a big gambler. I'm not. But I do play blackjack every once in a while. Not a master at blackjack. Do play. I remember going to, it was one of the islands, no, where was it? I think it may have been not Jamaica. What is it? Atlantis?
That's
this,
in the Bahamas.
Yeah, Bahamas. And they had this one they had just built. So this was years ago. Kids were little and everything. So put the kids to bed. And I told Marcia, I said, I'll be back. I'm going to go down to the casino. And I had planned on, I took a couple dollars down there. And I planned on just using that money. Once I lost it, I think it was like $300-$400. Once I lost it, I was done. I was walking away. Well, I didn't leave. I stayed there for a good while. I ended up winning like $7,000-$8,000.
Wow.
And left and went back to the hotel room. But we would play a game called Bure. And boy, oh boy, I can't tell you how those Bure pots used to get, but they used to get high. And
I've seen that game.
It's sort of like spades in a sense. It's all about you know, suits and no, it's more not spades. It's more like it's more like blackjack. Yes, I guess it would be more like blackjack, where you get dealt five cards and you could, you know, discard some cards and get, say, if I want to discard two cards, I can discard two cards and then get two cards. But the trump is the whatever the dealer picks, whatever he has, he picks trump. That's what the trump is. So you basically gotta try to get, you know, win the game based upon that. But yeah, I've seen some money. I've seen the pot get very large, and I'm talking about in less than an hour. Less than an hour, I've seen that pot get, yeah.
I remember pretty large. During Stanley Cup Final Media Day a few days ago, because remember, the Florida Panthers have to fly all the way to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is not a short flight. And the players were being asked questions about what they did to pass mm-hmm. the time. And apparently there was a big poker game, which happens a lot on
right.
flights, not just in the NHL, but across all sports.
Yeah. I have seen in more than one sport, card games or poker games mm-hmm. that are so intense, mm-hmm. shall we say, that the guys want to
you stay on the plane.
You take it from the plane to the bus. Minor league baseball player. Like the players wanted to stay on the bus.
Yes.
Like, dudes, we've been on this bus for 8 hours. Let's get off. Same thing with the plane. Like, guys, we're leaving.
We got to finish this game. We got to finish
it. Right. We're not leaving.
Got to finish the game. Yeah.
Apparently, Brad Marchand cleaned up and said that the IRS might be coming after him after how well he did in that game. 615-737-1025. The Pittsburgh Steelers can stop pretending that they like Mason Rudolph. And we'll discuss that coming up next. The worst kept secret in the NFL is out. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, The Game.